Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. God bless you. Welcome to God's Purpose Ministry, where I am your servant host, Pastor Olivia Deloach. God bless you, beloved. You know, first and foremost, I need to give an apology on last week because we were not able to come out on air. We were in revival, and I forgot to post it and send out messages that we would not be available on that Wednesday night. But I pray, beloved, you're back tonight. And count it to my head and not my heart, for your time is truly, truly valuable, not only to you, but as to me as well. I value your time, and I appreciate you taking time to listen in. And I truly appreciate those who afterwards give their feedback, because that helps me grow, it helps me seek, it helps me search. And I just want you to know I am so honored to be able to serve you within these 30 minutes. Well, we want to continue, God bless you. If I'm sounding a little more hoarse, we've been in a week of a revival down in Kansas City, Missouri, with Elder Tracy Starr. Has given a revival, and he's out of Montana, but he brought a citywide revival into Kansas City area called Feed My Sheep, and he had pastors and guest speakers from out of different states, and I was honored to be one of them, to work in the week to do several things, and I'm just thanking God for opportunity, but not only opportunity to make new friends, but also great to learn some great sisters and brothers in the gospel. So God bless them on tonight. But we want to pick up where we left off. We started the week before. We're coming from the book called Reset, yes, Your Life. That's it, Reset Your Life by Joseph Walker III. And as I said, my voice is a little out tonight, so I'm going to do the best I can. Pray with me and pray for me. And then after tonight, I'm going to do a little resting and to get the body back together. But I am finding this book to be such a joy, and I hated that I had to miss you last week because I wanted to jump in. But we're going to continue with Reset. Somebody say Reset. Reset, yes, yes, yes. And reset, we found out in the beginning, to me, not just to reboot, but to start over, to make new, to you have to lose some things to get new. Amen. Oh, that was just powerful. I have to put it out there. If you want to be able to get it, you can go on to Blog Talks Ministry web and go into Blog Talk and look for God's Purpose Ministry. The ministry is God's Purpose. And you can go into the archives and pull up segments that you may have lost. Amen. But on tonight, praise God, we're going to be coming out of the book of Hosea. Yes, yes, I love Hosea. A small book, but a mighty book, a minor prophet. And on the night, Dr. Walker wrote about the choice to love. The choice to love. So you get your notes and your pads and your pen, your paper, your tablet, and we're going to come out the book of Hosea, the choice to love. And Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up because you are truly worthy of all honor and praises, from us, and we want to give you our sacrificial praise. We want to give you our best praise. And Lord, through it all, you are yet still God. You can do the unspeakable. You can do the miraculous. And Father God, if you choose not to, we know that you're able. But your word said that you will not withhold any good thing from us as we walk upright with you, and we desire to walk right and upright with you, O God. So we ask you to search our hearts and mind even now. Cleanse it, purify it, and we cast all our cares upon you, for we know the word said that you care for us. Yes, little me, little us. Amen. So now, Lord God, touch every listener on tonight. You know the heart. You know the need. You know the desire. You know the hurt. You know the pain. You know all, because you're all-knowing and seeing God, everlasting God with everlasting love. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name, gracious and precious name. Amen. As we're going to jump right in, and it goes, ours in cold, destined identity. Ours is not the God of the dice who set the universe in motion like a watchmaker, but has no day-to-day involvement with it. Since the very beginning of time, beloved, God's desire has been to be in a relationship with his creation. That's you. He desired to be in relationship with you. God did everything he could to make certain that man knew just how much he loved him. Even through man quickly disappointing, although disappointed God through disobedience, God has been steadfastly proven that he loves us in spite of ourselves. How many of us know that when we fail, he yet still loves us? When we make a mistake, he yet still loves us. When it looks like we walk away, run away, and turn our back, he is yet still loving us. We have the ever-present choice to enter into, sustain, and renew a relationship with him. And experience God's love, we come to realize something very important. Listen to this, beloved. Listen very, very, very clear here. Love is never defined by the one who is love. It is defined by the lover. Love is never defined by the one who is love. It is defined by the lover. Now, why do we say that? Because the one loved does not possess the capacity to understand the depth of the lover's love. Consequently, the lover must love the loved one until he or she learns how to love the lover back. The truth of the matter is that God loved me first, yes, and you first, and it took me a while to learn how to reciprocate as best I could, to understand that we need look no further than the fact that if you find yourself in a season of rebellion, in a season of doing whatever you led to do in your carnality, God is saying to you that he really wants a relationship with you. Even if you're choosing the path of death, he's offering life. While you choose chaos, he offers reset. While the enemy desires to kill, sin, and destroy, we know that God came in Christ that we might have life and have it what? More abundantly. God is calling you out of madness. God is calling you to the quality of life that he has designed for you from the very beginning. He really wants this to work, beloved. Perhaps no better example is this, out of this kind of love God is offering than is found is in this, as we unpack the life of the mighty prophet Hosea. That's why I said we're going to talk about Hosea and Gomer for a little bit. Hosea prophesied during the period of extreme moral decline. And just in case someone missed it, it is in the book of Hosea. You have to go back and read the book of Hosea to get the understanding of what is going on. When people had turned into their idols, when they turn to their idols and mix them in with their worship of the one true God. Even the priests had turned away from what God had called them to do. And yet God continued to prove his steadfast love in the midst of their rebellion and disobedience. He did so through Hosea, using the prophet's own life to dramatize the reality of God's love of his people. God told Hosea this: go take a wife, yourself a wife of harlotry. Means she was a whore, a harlot, harlotry, and children of a harlotry. For the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. And you'll find that, beloved, in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. It was as if God sent his prophet to the red light district to seek a wife. Her name was Gomer. Yes. And Hosea, this anointed man with the word of God on his lips, saw the woman God had sent to him to marry. Now picture the ancient version of stilettos. Women, you know what stiletto is. Stiletto heels, fishnet stockings. Come on, get a vision. And a miniskirt. She was wearing too much lipstick and a gaudy wig. Come on. And she was walking from one car to the next, from trick to trick. You get the picture. God told the prophet, that's the one I want to be your wife. Yeah, here's what we just said. She's in her stiletto 5-inch heel, her fishnet stockings, her miniskirt, her gaudy wig, her red lipstick, probably popping her gum, going from trick to trick. And God said, she the one. She's the one I want you to take as a wife. This prophet, this man of God, this not only man of God, but this anointed man of God, Hosea. Now watch this. Hosea, maintaining his honor and his dignity as best as he could, had to stand up and proclaim, Gomer, God has sent me to be your husband. Think about the men standing around, some of whom had no doubt been with her, making fun of him, saying, you can't be talking about her. But Hosea was on an assignment from God. You better catch this. And he was there to take her as his bride and prove that he really loved her. You can picture it. They married, yes. And Hosea took Gomer home, cleaned her up, and gave her something good to eat. The first few days were wonderful. But then late one night, come on, listen, lean in. Those streets start calling her name again. Gomer slipped back into her miniskirt and her fishnets and went back on into the red light district. You know when they're calling you those things that you've been pulled from, they start calling you, trying to pull you back. Hosea woke up in the middle of the night and discovered her missing. He got up. He went down to the red light district wearing a sandwich board. Y'all know what a sandwich board is. That sign, a sign that said, if anybody, listen what this sign said, if anybody sees my Gomer, he didn't say see Gomer. He said, see my Gomer. Tell her I'll be right here waiting on her. Tell her I love her. By this time, the guys on the street corner were joined by passerby, shopkeepers, cops, and everybody. Word had spread. People knew Hosea and Gomer, and they knew the score. They walked by Hosea, and they laughed. You lost your mind, they said. She's back on the street. She'll never love you like you love her. But yet, he said, come on. He said it again. Tell her that I'll be right here when she finally decides to come home. Hosea waited for her night after night until finally early one morning she stumbled in. She had one broken heel shoe in her hand and she was bloody and battered. What did Hosea do? He welcomed her and loved on her again. He made her some breakfast and told her, I want you to know, listen, I want you to know that no matter what you've done during the night, I still love you. I'm still committed to this relationship. I know now you're saying, and you're probably only saying something, but you're shaking your head. You can't begin to comprehend spending a night like Hosea did, much less years. You're saying, there's no way I can be like him. That may be well true, beloved. Only a few of us really have that capacity to be Hosea, to love like that. But all of us have been Gomer. If you haven't been a Hosea, you've been a Gomer. We are all wicked by nature. For you holler, I ain't been on the street. I haven't worn no fishnet. I wasn't going for a trick, but you done did something. Sin is sin, beloved. We have done what we wanted to do. We have all ran from God. The good news is that God doesn't give up on us. You right there, that's a place to do your hallelujah. That's a place to wave your hand. That's a place to jump and leap in the air. That's a place to do a dip and a spin. That's a place to do a thank you, Jesus. All right, amen. Even when we have given up on our own self, He don't give up on us, even when we give up on Hosea. Hosea, listen, Hosea's relationship with Gomer is the picture of God's relationship with Israel and his relationship with us. Its message is that God really wants this relationship to work. He knows that as with Gomer, there will come a day when you'll get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You will come to realize where your real help comes from, and you'll choose to fall into the arms of someone who really loves you rather than to the arms of those who continuously abuse you. All right? Tell them, said God to Hosea, just how much I love them. Show them with your life. Through Hosea, he pleaded with his people who were just like Gomer to return. Here's an authentic call back to relationship with God. Can you see this, beloved? The world has robbed you. The world has hurt you. The world has mishandled you. The world did not understand you. But God, somebody say, but God wants relationship with you. God is calling us to turn back to him. The ideal of repentance is really saying, God, I've gone too far. I'm ready to turn around and get my life back together. This is the essence of reset. Reset, say reset. Israel recognized that the punishment they were experiencing was the result of not being what God wanted them to be. It's up to us to recognize that we are in need of an authentic relationship with God and to seek that relationship. It is not simply a matter of going to church. Oh, did you get that? Let me say it again. It is not simply a matter of going to church. There are some people who attend just because they've been told it's the right thing to do. There are others who come because a family member is pressuring them, and still others who come out of form and fashion. What we are seeking instead is an organic, authentic relationship with God, the kind where you wake up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will, come on, not you, but I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that's in Psalms 118:24, just in case you didn't know. It is a relationship in which you give God glory. No matter where you are, where nobody has to force you to come to church and nobody has to force you to talk about how much you love God, because when you think about what God has done in your life, you can't keep it to yourself, beloved. Oh, no, 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 no. You throw back and just want to give him a holler. Sometimes you can't do nothing, but when you think of his goodness, your eyes getting misty. All you can do is just wipe the tears away. I'm telling you, it just make you want to run, shout, holler, wave your hand. You want a relationship that is not a hobby. You want one that is real through and through. That is what reset gives us, a real relationship with God. And once we return, God has promised healing. Yes, yes. Your disobedience has torn you, but He, God, will heal you. Your sin has caused you to be smitten, but He will bind you. It's worth taking a closer look at the pain that can lead us into reset. The kind of pain experienced by Gomer. Now, we getting back to Gomer. You know what? I'm just thinking about that song, Frankie Beverly, back in the day, talking about joy and pain. But the kind of pain, we're going to talk about pain, experienced by Gomer was no doubt severe. Yes, for no one could live in rebellion and long escape its lasting effect. No, you can't do it. But there's a duality in all of our pain. Much of us is caused by evil. Yes, yes. We are acquainted to temptation toward the things that cause pain and suffer the consequences. We understand that pain, for we know that if we participate in it and we know we deserve it, still its lingering effects can cause bitterness and harshness in our spirits. We are wounded by unhealthy relationships, and we struggle with the anger that grows out of pain. But the reality is that God said, it doesn't matter what happened to you. I can still bind you up. I can take away the pain. I can heal a broken heart. I can repair a jaded mind. Whatever it is, or whatever it is, God can make it right. God sometimes allows you to be hurt by people or situations where you are not at fault, beloved. How is that possible? I'm glad you asked. You think, why would God allow pain to come my way? Many of us simply get angry at God and turn against Him in moments like that. But that pain, like the pain that grows out of our rebellion actions into the reality of a gift from God. He is saying, in essence, I'm doing this in order to help you. Just as it takes pain to teach us to avoid hot stoves and other causes of physical injury, it takes pain to teach us the limits of behavior. People or situations can hurt us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It's there to push us away from danger. That is the positive side of pain, beloved. At times, God acts like a skilled surgeon who realizes some healing would never take place unless a cut is made. A knife is in a skilled surgeon's hand is sometimes the only thing standing between a patient and death. Yes, the surgeon's object is not to hurt the patient, although he knows it, you will be experiencing pain, but to heal. Without that cut, the cancer, the infection, the damaged organ will never be treated. This is what God is doing with you. He knows the cut is making hurt you, but He knows it is the gateway to healing and wholeness. And God, as the ultimate skilled surgeon, can stitch you together again so that when you heal, there is no scars. Oh, that's a good place to shout glory. That's a good place to clap your hand. That's a good place to stomp your feet, take a spin, a bow, a leap, or whatever, or just shed a tear. God, and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. You can read that, beloved, in Hosea 6:1. Think of the times when God had to cut you and your reaction was, Lord, this is just isn't fair. But now when you look back over your life and you thank God for the surgery, since it took things out of you that were not good for you, some of you would still be in unhealthy relationships if God had not performed that surgery. Come on. In many cases, God healed us without scars. So many of us now can say, that stuff I was crying over 10 years ago, I'm laughing at it today. But being human, we often rush right into another bad relationship. Be careful, beloved. Another unproductive situation. Be careful, beloved. When God used a fresh cut, renewed pain to get us out, we're again crying the night away. That's the time to remember what has happened before, to realize that this is something you'll get through. Oh, you'll get through it. You'll get over the pain, and maybe this time you'll learn the lesson he wants for you to learn, beloved. The lesson of divine recitation appears many times in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and 39 said, "Now see that I am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal." That's deep. Deuteronomy 32 and 39. But Jeremiah 30 and 17 said like this, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds." Oh, Jeremiah 30 and 17. God is saying, and when I get through healing you, I'm going to position you for revival. And that's the essence of what reset is. It means to revive, beloved, to revive. Let me move quickly. We've got to be wrapping up in a minute. God even lays out the process. After Hosea 6 and 1, in which he promised healing, we read this. After 2 days, this is in verse 2, chapter 6, verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us. It's important that we understand the continuity of this. God provides space between the incision and the next move. Did you get that? Between the incision and the next move. He's telling us not to move too quickly. Come on. Anybody that had surgery, anybody been cut on and in recovery, give God time to heal you. Some people just want to rush. They want to. My daughter, she just had surgery a few weeks ago, and the third day out of the hospital home, she was trying to rush and do no, and then she was in pain and in tears. You got to give time. There's something between the incision and the move. Come on. Don't bounce, as so many do, from one thing to the next. That was what Gomer's problem was as well. You keep bouncing from one car to the next, from one smile to the next, from one relationship to the next. Give yourself time to heal before God's next move. Verse 2 said again, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. God is getting ready to take you through the process. Okay, a recitation. As sure as the Lazarus, you know how you do resonate, you resonate somebody? As sure as Lazarus rose from the dead, you can rise from where you are. Whatever is dead in your life, whether it's your marriage, friendships, job, money, morale, etc., etc., etc. It's about to experience a revival that's going to bring spiritual life back into you. Can somebody shout glory? Can somebody say hallelujah? Can somebody say amen? And so it is. You may have lost the pep in yourself. You may have lost the passion that brings dreams to fruition in your life. You may have lost your desire for the things of God. But God promises spiritual CPR, divine bringing back. The word that means to rise up again, although we use it to mean to bring around, to bring back from unconsciousness to conscience. CPR is a process of getting your heart beating and getting the breath of life into your lungs. And that's the power of reset. We're going to stop there, beloved. Yes, yes, yes. It has been a blessing tonight. I pray that this has blessed your socks, because it has blessed my socks off. It's blessed my heart. Reset. Tell yourself reset. This time next week, we're going to pick up and continue this chapter off because we need to know it. Yes, is there, God is Hosea and we are the Gomers, that he is saying, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting patiently for you. I'll just come on back when you get tired of your last hoorah, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of making them poor choices, bad choices, or doing your own thing, or trying to be everybody's savior, or whatever the situation, circumstance is, as the skin said, God said, tell them, I'm waiting. Beloved, I love you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray and ask you to Allah, ask him to come into your life even now. Join us on next week. I love you in Christ, and there's nothing you can do about it.